A growing economy. The first companies in Canada were formed during the French and British regimes and competed for the fur trade. The Hudson's Bay Company, with French, British, and Aboriginal employees, came to dominate the trade in the Northwest, from Fort Garry, now Winnipeg, and Fort Edmonton, to Fort Langley near Vancouver and Fort Victoria, trading posts that later became cities. The first financial institutions opened in the late 18th and early 19th centuries. The Montreal Stock Exchange opened in 1832. For centuries, Canada's economy was based mainly on farming and on exporting natural resources such as fur, fish, and timber, transported by roads, lakes, rivers, and canals. The War of 1812, the fight for Canada. After the defeat of Napoleon Bonaparte's fleet in the Battle of Trafalgar in 1805, the Royal Navy ruled the waves. The British Empire, which included Canada, fought to resist Bonaparte's bid to dominate Europe. This led to American resentment at British interference with their shipping. Believing it would be easy to conquer Canada, the United States launched an invasion in June 1812. The Americans were mistaken. Canadian volunteers and First Nations, including Shawnee, led by Chief Tecumseh, supported British soldiers in Canada's defense. In July, Major General Sir Isaac Brock captured Detroit but was killed while defending against an American attack at Queenston Heights near Niagara Falls, a battle the Americans lost. In 1813, Lieutenant Colonel Charles de Salaberry and 460 soldiers, mostly French Canadians, turned back 4,000 American invaders at Châteauguay, south of Montreal. In 1813, the Americans burned Government House and the Parliament buildings in York, now Toronto. In retaliation, in 1814, Major General Robert Ross led an expedition from Nova Scotia that burned down the White House and other public buildings in Washington, D.C. Ross died in battle soon afterwards and was buried in Halifax with full military honors. By 1814, the American attempt to conquer Canada had failed. The British paid for a costly Canadian defense system, including the citadels at Halifax and Quebec City, the naval dry dock at Halifax and Fort Henry at Kingston, today popular historic sites. The present-day Canada-USA border is partly an outcome of the War of 1812, which ensured that Canada would remain independent of the United States. Image of a Royal Navy frigate with caption. HMS Shannon, a Royal Navy frigate, leads the captured USS Chesapeake into Halifax Harbor, 1813. There were also naval battles on the Great Lakes. Image of Brock and Tecumseh with caption. Major General Sir Isaac Brock and Chief Tecumseh, together, British troops, First Nations, and Canadian volunteers defeated an American invasion in 1812-1814. Image of a militiaman with caption. French-Canadian militiaman helped defend Canada in the War of 1812. Image of the Duke of Wellington with caption. The Duke of Wellington sent some of his best soldiers to defend Canada in 1814. He then chose Bytown, Ottawa, as the end point of the Rideau Canal, part of a network of forts to prevent the USA from invading Canada again. Wellington, who defeated Napoleon in 1815, therefore played a direct role in founding the national capital. Image of Laura Secord with caption. In 1813, Laura Secord, pioneer wife and mother of five children, made a dangerous 19-mile or 30-kilometer journey on foot to warn Lieutenant James Fitzgibbon of a planned American attack. Her bravery contributed to victory at the Battle of Beaver Dams. She is recognized as a heroine to this day. Rebellions of 1837-1838. In the 1830s, reformers in Upper and Lower Canada believed that progress toward full democracy was too slow. Some believed Canada should adopt American Republican values or even try to join the United States. When armed rebellions occurred in 1837-1838 in the area outside Montreal and in Toronto, the rebels did not have enough public support to succeed. They were defeated by British troops and Canadian volunteers. A number of rebels were hanged or exiled. Some exiles later returned to Canada. Lord Durham, an English reformer sent to report on the rebellions, recommended that Upper and Lower Canada be merged and given responsible government. This meant that the ministers of the Crown must have the support of a majority of the elected representatives in order to govern. Controversially, Lord Durham also said that the quickest way for the Canadiens to achieve progress was to assimilate into English-speaking Protestant culture. This recommendation demonstrated a complete lack of understanding of French Canadians, who sought to uphold the distinct identity of French Canada. Some reformers, including Sir Étienne Paschal Taché and Sir Georges-Étienne Cartier, later became Fathers of Confederation, as did a former member of the voluntary government militia in Upper Canada, Sir John A. Macdonald. Responsible government. In 1840, Upper and Lower Canada were united as the province of Canada. Reformers such as Sir Louis-Hippolyte Lafontaine and Robert Baldwin, in parallel with Joseph Howe in Nova Scotia, worked with British governors toward responsible government. The first British North American colony to attain full responsible government was Nova Scotia in 1847-1848. In 1848-1849, the Governor of United Canada, Lord Elgin, with encouragement from London, introduced responsible government. This is the system that we have today. If the government loses a confidence vote in the Assembly, it must resign. Lafontaine, a champion of democracy and French language rights, became the first leader of a responsible government in the Canadas. Image of Sir Louis-Hippolyte Lafontaine with caption, Sir Louis-Hippolyte Lafontaine, a champion of French language rights, became the first head of a responsible government, similar to a prime minister, in Canada in 1849. Confederation. From 1864 to 1867, representatives of Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, and the Province of Canada, with British support, worked together to establish a new country. These men are known as the Fathers of Confederation. They created two levels of government, federal and provincial. The old province of Canada was split into two new provinces, Ontario and Quebec, which together with New Brunswick and Nova Scotia formed the new country called the Dominion of Canada. Each province would elect its own legislature and have control of such areas as education and health. The British Parliament passed the British North America Act in 1867. The Dominion of Canada was officially born on July 1, 1867. Until 1982, July 1st was celebrated as Dominion Day to commemorate the day that Canada became a self-governing dominion. Today, it is officially known as Canada Day. Image of the Fathers of Confederation with caption. The Fathers of Confederation established the Dominion of Canada on July 1, 1867, the birth of the country that we know today. Image of Dominion of Canada, $1 bill with caption. Dominion of Canada, $1 bill, 1923, showing King George V, who assigned Canada's national colors, white and red, in 1921, the colors of our national flag today.